Good evening. It's been a beautiful day. A little cool out there, a little windy, but it's been beautiful. And I hope we enjoyed the opportunity we had to have a day like this. Nice to see those who are out this evening to study God's Word. We pray that the things we say this evening will be beneficial to all in some way. I'd also like to give my thanks to the brethren here for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I made a promise to Chuck that I wouldn't preach past 11 o'clock tonight. So, I'll warn you now. I like to shop. I like to go out into the stores and look around, take advantage of the sales that are going on. Right around this so-called holiday called Christmas, we're always warned about how many days we've got left to shop. I'll let you know, I figure up 205 days. There's 205 days before Christmas, so start now. But the fact is, that when you get around Thanksgiving, you constantly see on the news every night, pick up a newspaper, you may get on the internet, you may walk in the store and they keep hammering about how many days you got left. Take advantage of the sales that are going on. And there are so many of us that are constantly warned every day about this. Well, let's think about it. How many days do we have left as a Christian to shop? Now, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to talk about something spiritual, not something physical. They talk about physical buying. I'm talking about trying to take advantage of what is given to us and add it to our soul, our disposition as a Christian, how we should be acting. And we have very few shopping days left, if you want to think about it. In reality, this could be my final shopping day or our final shopping day. In reality, we need to understand we're not guaranteed of a tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed of the next 5 minutes. I'm not guaranteed of the next minute. It could take place. It could happen. But that's up to God. And I need to take advantage of every opportunity I have in trying to add things to my soul that I be ready, that I be prepared. As some people try to be prepared for Christmas as a holiday. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. If I knew a thief was coming to my home, I'd be waiting for him. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have the police officer sitting in the house beside you with a gun, ready to take him into custody if we knew when the thief was coming? But we never know. We never know where we're going to be attacked, where somebody's going to take advantage of us, where somebody's going to rob our house as we're out in the store buying what we need, or being at church services or whatever. We never know when that thief is coming. And the apostle here is trying to tell the church of Thessalonica, you be ready. Because the Lord is coming. But you don't know when. And you need to be prepared. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, as Peter is trying to get them to understand, we do not know when Christ is coming again. In verse 10 of the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Be ready. He asks a question. How are you ready? How are you prepared? What manner of person are you when Christ comes again? And that's what I'm pleading with you this evening to do, is take these thoughts, see what we need to be shopping for within God's Word, and try to add into our physical or spiritual life that we can be ready, that we can be prepared for the second coming of God or Christ. Now we spend a lot of times around the holidays trying to pick out that special gift for somebody. Trying to walk through the store and trying to find the best buys. I don't care much for the day after Thanksgiving because stores are a madhouse. Especially early in the morning. Afternoon is not too bad. You take your time and look around. These people are crazy in that morning from about 5 o'clock on until about noon. They run over each other trying to find the right gift. Trying to find the right item. Trying to find the right sale. Hey, we need to quit spending so much time worrying about that type of shopping. And see what we need to be really looking at spiritually. What kind of investment, what kind of gift can I find within God's Word that I need to be adding into myself? How can I improve of what I am? Please turn with me to Galatians. I'd like to read chapter 5 and verses 22, verse 23. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. These are the things we need to be shopping for. These are the things I should be adding, should be trying to improve on in my life. Gifts that I can express to others in a roundabout way. I might be able to save a soul by taking these gifts, these items, and applying them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What is love? I said, willing, sacrificial, giving of oneself for the benefit of another without thought of return. Isn't that what a lot of people say about Christmas? You've got to have the Christmas spirit. You've got to have the Christmas love. Care for one another. And the rest of the year, you treat them like dirt, I guess. But fact is, for one day. As a Christian, it's an everyday thing. We should be willing to give ourselves without the idea that I expect something in return. That's true love. Husband and wife relationship should be such, as Brother Tim brought out a few times in his lesson, that we should be willing to do for the other. We should be there at all times. We don't expect anything for it. That's the right type of relationship. That's the right way we should be treating one another as individuals. When we stand back and say, well, I've done good for this individual. He ought to pay me back somehow. He ought to be good for me. Treat me right. That's not love. That's show. Love is doing something for somebody without expecting anything. Isn't that what Christ did? He didn't expect anything. He expected us to become obedient to His will. But He loved us enough that He gave Himself for us. And that's the way we ought to be. joy, it's a gladness of heart. How joyful are we at times for others in their time of happiness? Are we there? Peace is tranquility of mind, freeing one from worry and fear. That takes time. That takes time to learn. How many times we worry about something that we shouldn't be worrying about? Something simple. Something that is really stupid and around about what? It has no really bearing on our life a lot of times. But we worry. I have to say, I get a little anxious at times because I like to be punctual and like to be at places at least 15, 20 minutes before time, and it drives me up a wall. It really does. And throughout the years, I've gotten a little bit better at it. I'm still working on it. I learned to be patient. And it's something that we all need to work on at times. Long-suffering. It's being patient with others. The opposite of being short-tempered. The disposition quietly hearing, bearing injury. Gentleness is kindness. When we talk about goodness, it talks about generosity. Faith is being dependable. Meekness is gentleness. That is courtesy and consideration of one's relationship to the other. Temperance. Self-control, willing and ability to harness one's desire and lust. These are the things we need to be striving for. These are the things we need to be sharpening throughout God's Word. How can I improve it? What are the Scriptures that can help me to be better in these areas? If you're peaceful to one, if you're meekness, if you love, as you should, and as the apostle here told the church in Galatia, against such there is no law. You can't do no harm. You can't do no wrong. There's no law against these things. But there are other things that we could partake in fleshly that are laws for and we need to be careful of. 2 Peter, the first chapter. These are likewise things we need to be shopping for, or should be on our shopping list. Think about it. Beginning in verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godly, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. These are things Peter told them they need to be striving for. Do we have these characteristics as a Christian? Do we strive for these things? We have faith that Christ came, lived, and died upon this cross, upon this earth, rose back with His Heavenly Father, and we're waiting now for His second coming. That's Christians. That's faith. It's something that we hope for, things unseen, and according to Hebrews 11:1. But we need to add to our faith virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. How are we morally? Well, think about it. Growing up, listen to the songs back in the 60s and 70s, a little bit of the 80s, and I still listen to a little bit of music, but really calmed down on it in the last few years. A lot of songs I thought were clean at that time. I found out later on had double meaning to it. A lot of people would ask me, how could you listen to, say, Pink Floyd, some of their music? You don't take drugs. How can you listen to them? I said, well, this is what the song means to me. Now I'll explain it to them. And they'll stand back and say, never ever thought of that. Where do you get that idea? I said, well, I never knew much about things that were filthy and unclean. Those were clean songs to me because of the way they portrayed maybe some of the thoughts I had at the time. And there are songs that you can take clean. But then when they try to tell me what the true meaning were or thought they thought was the meaning of the song, I couldn't believe it. But at the same time, my mind was pure at the time until they brought it to my attention. And we need to be careful that we try to take things in the right way, in the right sense. If I walked up to somebody and told you, your granddaughter is a very beautiful girl, how would you take it? Now, the moral excellence will let you know. If you say somebody you got a beautiful daughter or you got a beautiful son, nice looking son, if you take it cleanly, you got good morals. But if you take it in the proper sense, then you have something to worry about. Think about it. Something you need to question about yourself. Something you need to deeply ask. You need to be sure of how you're taking it is in the proper way as it should be. Virtue, or knowledge, that's trying to learn God's truth. We want to learn as much as we can. We want to increase in our knowledge of God's will. Temperance, again, is self-control. Patience is endurance. It's something that we all lack. I don't care who we are. We're never, ever patient enough. We always fail somewhere along the line within this realm. And it's something we need to constantly work on within our life. Godliness, brotherly kindness, it's a brotherly love, caring for one another, always being there, trying to make sure that their soul was going to make it to heaven, just as we're trying to strive for heaven. Charity is unconditional love. And why should we strive for these things? Well, read verse 8 through verse 10. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things are blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten he been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, if the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If we abide to these things that Peter said we need to be trying to strive for, if we buy these things, we try to increase these gifts that's been given to us through God's Word, we'll never fall. But you know anybody that hasn't fallen? Why? Because sometimes we lack one of these things, if not more. That's why we fall. Maybe we ran out of patience, tempers. Man, I didn't have all the knowledge I needed to know and have to discuss something or to do something. That we don't have enough temperance towards one another, love towards one another as we ought. Maybe I'm not morally as excellent as I should be in comparison to God's Word. reading an article the other day about people trying to compare themselves to other church members. And at the same time, the writer goes on, he says, have you ever known anybody to try to compare themselves to Christ? Compare themselves to Paul. How do you compare to Peter? Look at the mistakes he made. Are you as good as Peter? Are you doing the things that Peter done? That's who we need to be comparing ourselves to. Where do we fall when we try to compare ourselves to somebody else trying to make ourselves feel better? When we need to be doing what we need to be doing, shopping for the gifts that have been given to us through God's Word, adding to themselves. These things will not make us idle or unfruitful. And with lives that we seek these things, added to our abilities, added to our conscience, to my life, am I the way I'm supposed to be in accordance to God's Word? Do I try to understand what maybe somebody else has gone through or have been through? Am I there for them? Or am I constantly condemning? Are we constantly putting things down? Are we always suspecting something in return for what I've done for them? How am I? What kind of gifts are you trying to buy? Yeah, you know, when this so-called holiday comes around, think about it. People try to pick out the right gifts because they know a lot of times that they're going to get something nice back, and they want to make sure in some way that they outbought the other individual a lot of times. Now, do them one better. Wrong. It's wrong. And we need to wake up. Hebrews, 3rd chapter, talks about what time we have left in our shopping days. I'll tell you what. I'll give you today. I'll give you this moment. And that's all I can guarantee. I'm not going to be like the stores and say you got 15 more days to shop until that holiday. Or I'm going to give you 20 days or 10 days. I'm telling you what. All you got is now. Hebrews 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart and unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, if not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but when whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that they had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believeth not? Today, it's now. It's time to buy. Now is the time to take advantage of what has been given to you. There is no tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, until I wake up the next morning and the sun comes up. There is no tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, if there's 5 minutes left. I don't know. All I know is now. Today, it's a time to become obedient to God. Things we are to make sure, add to our lives, that we lay up treasures to heaven. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Where your treasure is, therefore your heart will be also. If it's in heaven, I bought the right things. I strive for the right gifts. I strive for perfection that God has told me to have. I have grown as I should as a Christian. But if I'm thinking worldly thoughts, if I'm always constantly looking down on somebody, if I'm constantly trying to find fault with someone, then we need to be careful. Because now we're thinking worldly. How do you stand? How many shopping days are left? I'm going to ask you. Scripture says today. Now. What condition are you in? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not a Christian, you must hear His word. Believe. You must repent. Be willing to change your whole life. Live for God. Not for ourselves. We live for God. We devoted ourselves to Him. Now confession. Confess us before witnesses. He'll confess us before His Father. Brought out this morning in this morning's lesson. Baptized by immersion. Put to death the old man. Rose up as a new creature. Put it different. We're thinking spiritual in our everyday lives. We're trying to grow. We're no longer in sin. Unless we quit taking on the virtues that God has given to us to take. And be faithful till death. In Revelation 2:10. Yeah, it's difficult. And we do stumble. We do fall. We do trip. We do leave God at times. But today, you have the opportunity to continue buying them gifts that God has given to us. If we just repent. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him for forgiveness of our sins. How do we stand? How do we look? How much do we look inside of ourselves and try to figure out where we stand in? Song of the invitation is kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. He's our go-between. Good time to take advantage of it. That's the sale I'm offering. This is what we're offering this evening. Salvation of your soul. We need to think about these things. We need to be sincere, honest, downright honest with ourselves. You know, sometimes we think individuals repent too many times. You know why I look at it this way? At least they got an honest and open heart. And they're trying to do what's right. While a lot of us will sit back and try to cover up what we do. Think about it. You think hard. You think long. as long as God gives you. Finish shopping. Do something about it. Buy that last gift. The special gift. Think about these things as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.